And it'll be helpful to have a copy of the Bible in front of you this morning, because we're going to start in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, but we're going to be digging into a number of verses in chapter 1. And so it'll help you to notice what is being said and to dig in and understand it if you've got a copy of God's word in front of you. The theme is thanksgiving. So let's read these verses, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, just one of the places in this amazing book that Paul talks about the Christian being a person who is full of thanksgiving. Paul says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Let's ask God to bless us as we receive his word. Lord, please speak to us powerfully through your word. Help us to understand it. But Lord, we recognize that even if we understand it on some level, we can't change ourselves. But you can change us. In fact, you promise to change us. You promise to be at work in us. You promise to grow us. And we pray, Lord, that you would do just that, that by the Spirit using your word, you would grow us in our maturity, in our trust in you, in our joy, in our thankfulness, so that we would leave here people that are different because of your work. And we pray it in Jesus' great name. Amen. So we're going to consider the topic of abounding in thanksgiving, which is what Paul calls us to in these verses, abounding in thanksgiving, because, of course, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and because we're taking up the thank offering. But really, the ultimate reason it's good for us to do this is because the topic of thanksgiving is really incredibly important. Thankfulness is fundamental to the Christian life. Thankfulness is fundamental to the Christian life, and thankfulness rescues us from our lives. Thankfulness rescues us from our depression and our boredom and our fatigue and our struggle as we struggle along in the tedium that life can be and bring, the pressure that life can place on us, the heartbreak, the pain. Thankfulness is key to living with joy, even in the midst of all of those things, and being ultimately rescued from them. I just want you to consider for a second, what if you've been pursuing satisfaction the wrong way? Because we're all pursuing satisfaction, aren't we? All of us are running after peace. All of us are trying to figure out how we can manage our lives in a way that gives us more joy and happiness and peace and security. But what if we're running after that in the wrong way? We'd want to know about that, right? And if there's a better way to go after peace, if there's a better way to live in happiness and satisfaction, man, we need to know that. And thankfulness is the way. Just to jump to the chase, right? Thankfulness is the right way to pursue satisfaction. So we're going to talk about it this morning by starting off with some basics about thankfulness and Christian thankfulness. And the first basic thing to note about Christian thankfulness, I already mentioned it, but it's important for you to see, is the fundamental place of thankfulness in the Christian life. Thankfulness is is a gauge of spiritual health. To be a spiritually healthy person, you need to be a person who's not just getting by with a little thankfulness. To be a truly spiritually healthy person, you need to be abounding in thankfulness. I mean, we can draw that from the verses we read, can't we? Therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, live in Jesus, and that means having been rooted in him, you are being built up in him and further established in the faith as you were taught. And what's going to go with that is you're going to be abounding in thanksgiving. If you belong to Jesus and you're living in Jesus, you're going to be abounding in thanksgiving. He says later in the book, in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything you do, you're to do to the glory of God, and doing everything to the glory of God means you do everything with thankfulness. Thankfulness is to be a part of absolutely everything you do. So it is fundamental to the Christian life. And it's fundamental to our own sense of well-being and peace and satisfaction and joy. So the question is, how do we pursue it then? How do we pursue true thankfulness? It's really two-step. It's a two-step process. First, Christian thankfulness comes from giving up on yourself. Christian thankfulness comes from giving up on yourself, abandoning trust in your ability to make life truly, deeply, ultimately good. Now, please hear me. You should not give up on yourself on the level of making minor but important improvements. Okay, so tomorrow morning, if you just stay in bed and your wife is like, dude, why aren't you getting up? And you say, Pastor told me to give up on myself. It doesn't do any good. She's going to say, it does us some good because of your lousy income. Now get out there and make those $3 so we can struggle to pay our bills, right? And a lot of us need to have that pep talk at times. We need to say, no, you know, your life could be greatly improved if you just learn how to sanitize things or whatever. Wash your clothes and your life will greatly improve. There was a time in my life where that advice could have been given. And it wasn't. And I suffered. But not for long, but you know. You don't have to smell good, you just have to smell better than your roommates. But so there's little things in life where life hacks come into play. Better time management skills. Stop being lazy and ask your boss for the raise. Well, how do I do that? Well, let's look on the internet and find some advice there. Right? Talk to Albert about how to sell him on your ability. There's all kinds of ways where you shouldn't give up on yourself. But in the most important on the most important level, regarding the most important things in life, we have to give up on ourselves. We have to give up on our ability to make life truly, deeply, and ultimately good. Because you can thrive financially and be pathetically unhappy. We know this, but we don't often believe it. You can have a fantastic job and your family life is crumbling. You can have a fantastic family life and yet you're just depressed and bored, dissatisfied. And the key is to recognize that you don't have the ability, the source of life being truly, ultimately, and deeply good, it's not found in you. And really recognizing that is the first step towards living a life of thankfulness. Looking away from you is the first step. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because by definition, what is thankfulness? Like most basically, thankfulness is gratitude for things that you receive as a gift. I'm not thankful for something I earned myself. I'm thankful for things people gave me that I did not earn. You see what I'm saying? You can be thankful for talent, but you're thankful for talent because you realize I was just born this way. Thankfulness is produced by receiving a gift. So Christian thankfulness grows when we grow in understanding how gift-defined we are. Gift-defined we are, meaning ultimate good in life comes as a gift from Christ Jesus. And you have to grab onto this reality. You have to recognize that the most important things that are yours are not from you and have nothing to do with what you deserve. The greatest things about life, our true treasures, are not from us and have nothing to do with what we deserve. Paul, in the context of calling us to grow in Christ and abound in thanksgiving that we read, that whole context is Paul saying, stop depending on yourself and start realizing what Jesus has done for you is enough. He says, stop depending on yourself. The verse just following what we read goes like this. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. You could translate that according to the latest life hacks, according to the elemental or elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. See, he says, let no one take you captive into what sound like good ways of living, what sound like really smart ways of pulling it off, what sound like ways of getting life at the highest level. Don't buy into all those man-made offers of how to get life at the highest level. Instead, you got to recognize that it only comes to you in Christ. But it comes to you fully in Christ. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. He's saying, don't get sidetracked into you earning or manufacturing or attaining what your performance can get you. Realize instead all that you've been given in Jesus. And so this leads us to the next step in growing in thankfulness. The first step to Christian thankfulness comes from giving up on yourself, and that leads to the second one. You give up on yourself and you press in to the blessings that you've been given in Christ Jesus. You press in, you grow in, you understand better, you learn to live in the reality of what you've been given in Jesus. If you're doing that, you're gonna grow in thankfulness. Thankfulness is gonna flow from that. Again, our verses. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, live in Jesus. Paul is saying, yeah, you became a Christian. You've got a conversion story. Even if you don't remember when you are converted, there's a number of people in here, me included, that we don't remember when we were converted, but we know that we became Christians. And sometimes we can think of that as, okay, I checked that box off. I became a Christian. Now what? Okay, I got to get my career in order, and I got to figure out how to live life in a full and rich manner. And the Christianity thing can just get kind of placed off to one side. And Paul is correcting that very directly here. He's saying, no, as you received Christ the Lord, because you received him, because you became a Christian, live in him. Realize that what you have in Christ, it infiltrates and flows into absolutely every area of life, and it's to leak into every crevice of your heart. It's to consume every synapse of your brain. Walk in him, rooted, having been rooted and being built up in him and established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In other words, he's saying, look, if you really get what it means to belong to Jesus, you're going to be overflowing with thanksgiving, because the more you understand and embrace what you've been given in Christ, the more you realize that you have in him all that is truly, deeply, and ultimately good. You've got it all already, even if all you have is Jesus. So when you realize what you have in Jesus, you're going to abound in thanksgiving. Now we're going to transition in a minute here to just reviewing some of the blessings and gifts that we have in Christ Jesus that Paul lays out here in Colossians. But before we do that, just think for a minute about how the pursuit of fullness and true peace and satisfaction and happiness along the lines of thankfulness makes so much more sense than pursuing peace and satisfaction and happiness along the lines of belief in yourself and trust in your ability. Thankfulness fueled contentment. Thankfulness fueled contentment. In other words, contentment that comes from just being overwhelmingly amazed and thankful for what you've been given in Jesus, that kind of contentment is so much stronger and longer lasting and tougher and richer than self-fueled happiness. And what do I mean by self-fueled happiness? I mean, happiness can very often be the product of us feeling good about ourselves, right? Of something we've pulled off, of something, a little blessing we're experiencing in the midst of life. Because we've experienced a thrill of happiness when we did well at something. When you scored a goal in your first goal in soccer, when you passed that test, when you got into that college, when you achieved this career, these different things can make us, this is, we think, wrongly, this is the key to happiness. It's this kind of success. It's getting this kind of stuff. When I get X, then I'm going to be really happy. But we all know that's a pathetic way to go. Why? Because can you really count on you? Can you really depend on you pulling things off consistently enough to maintain happiness enough? And I mean like pull it off in this world that doesn't care about you. It's not interested in you getting what you feel like you want. Everyone around you is simply interested in getting what they feel like they want. So you're pathetic. The world is awful. And yet we go, here's my plan. I'm going to depend on me and the world I now live in. But thankfulness fueled contentment recognizes that the source of the best things you have is not you, it's someone else, and that someone else is Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter if you stink. It doesn't matter how awful this world is and how difficult your circumstances, you can still be joyfully thankful. Because that thankfulness is based on him and all he's done despite you and despite this world. So what are some of these blessings? What has Jesus done for us? What are some of the things we give thanks to God for? That living in this, having this like bloom within us, grow within us, can lead us to a robust sense of satisfaction and contentment. I'm just going to list some blessings that Paul begins to list out in the first part of Colossians. Turn with me to Colossians 1 and notice some of the things that Paul is thankful for regarding the Colossians. Notice Colossians 1, verse 3. Paul was a man who knew suffering. Paul is a man whose earthly accomplishments were not happy ones. When he went into town and did his thing and served God faithfully, a riot broke out and he would be jailed or persecuted or stoned nearly to death. And yet here is a man who is robust in joy because his joy is thankfulness fueled. Thankful to God for what he's done. Look at what he says. Colossians 1 verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. What is Paul thankful for? He's thankful to God for the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus. And this is something that all of us can be thankful for. We can be thankful that we have faith in Christ Jesus. Just coming to know Jesus, coming to trust in Jesus, coming to recognize that he is your Savior is not something that you achieved. It's something that God gave you. Faith is a gift from God. Now, a lot of people don't understand it this way. A lot of people think that God says, hey, I'll do most of the saving, but it's up to you to have faith. The reality is we're dead in our sins, but God is so gracious that even while we're dead in our sins, Paul says in Ephesians, he raised us up together with Christ. He gives us faith to love and trust him. And so Paul says, I thank God for your faith because God is the one who needs to be thanked for it. So just the fact that you trust in Jesus is a reason for you to say, thank you, God, because it wasn't me being better than everyone else. You've given me this faith. And what does this faith result in? He says, we thank God since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Faith results in a heavenly hope. And what Paul means by the hope laid up for you in heaven, having a heavenly hope, it means confidence about heaven. Hope in the New Testament is confidence. It's not, well, I hope it'll happen, but I'm not sure it will. It's confidence that something belongs to you even when you don't currently see it. And so that's why the English word hope is used to translate it, because of that unseen part of it. But the problem with that translation is that hope for us doesn't often mean confidence. It just means the unseen thing that we're unsure about. Biblical hope is confidence in what we don't currently see. So Paul is saying, your faith in Christ Jesus has led you to have confidence about heaven. And what is it about heaven that the Colossians are to have confidence about? It's specifically that we have an inheritance in Christ's heavenly kingdom. Look down at verse 12 and 13. He says again in 12, giving thanks to the Father. He wants us to be those who are giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Inheritance in the saints in light is heaven. It's another way to describe heaven. He's transferred us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The kingdom of Jesus, his beloved Son, is another way to describe heaven. So these are just different ways of saying we can be thankful that we have a heavenly inheritance. And this is not something we should ever be able to get over. We all want stuff down here on earth, and that's understandable. We want stuff down here on earth, so we give thanks for food. We give thanks for family, and we give thanks for job, and we give thanks for housing, and we give thanks for peace, and we pray for more of all of those things. And hopefully you did that this past weekend. You gave thanks for stuff down here on earth. And those are all good things. We need to pray for those things. We need to give thanks for those things. But the reality is all that stuff, all the stuff down here on earth is bound to die. All the stuff down here on earth, as good as it is bound to die. There is an inherent limit to the greatest earthly treasure. They decay and they can be stolen, as Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do you remember these words? Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do you notice Jesus there is not saying to have a truly pious heart, you need to kill your desire. To have a truly godly outlook on life, you need to get rid of wanting things. He doesn't say that. He says to have a truly godly outlook, to have a truly spiritual heart, you need to get smart about the kind of stuff you want. And it makes no sense to set your heart on the things down here on earth because the things down here on earth aren't good enough. Rust can destroy them. Moths can destroy them. Bugs can eat up your treasure here on earth. It makes more sense, doesn't it, to set your treasure in heaven where it's going to last? That's what you need to be set on. And the wonderful thing is that means that belonging to Christ, when Paul is saying you have this heavenly hope, you have an inheritance in the saints in light that belongs to the kingdom of Jesus, you have a heavenly inheritance, that means that Christ secures for us the greatest treasures at the highest level. So we can be thankful to God because no matter how poor we are down here, you are richer than anyone down here could ever possibly be. Man, we have so much reason to be thankful. And you see, you've even seen how robust the satisfaction that comes from that kind of thankfulness is, because it's not dependent on stuff happening down here. I mean, you can win if you're properly attuned to your true treasure, you can win the lottery and go, oh, okay. I'm not quite attuned to that yet. If I win the lottery, I'd probably go more than okay. But isn't that the case? Yay, I get more stuff that rust is going to destroy. Wow, amazing. Awesome. More things for thieves to steal. I've always wanted more things for thieves to steal. We've got it made, folks. And then notice that a key aspect of the blessings of Christ is that we get this heavenly inheritance despite how awful we are. Because this heavenly inheritance is given to the worst of us because it's based on the forgiveness of sins. Read there again, 1 verse 12 and following, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. You don't qualify yourself. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We can be truly thankful that we're given a heavenly inheritance because it's given to us despite ourselves. A key aspect of having this heavenly inheritance is that we are those who have had their sins forgiven by the work of Jesus for us. We are perfectly accepted by God because when he looks at us, he sees no wrong whatsoever because Jesus died for us. You can be thankful that you've been given this eternal treasure and that none of your failure is following you to enjoying it. You're freed from all of that failure, free to enjoy your inheritance because all of that failure is taken care of. And now lastly, we may think, well, all of this stuff is about what we currently own because we belong to Jesus, but we're not experiencing it. It's heavenly. Or we're experiencing the forgiveness of sins, but that's already done and taken care of. Is there anything we can be thankful for in this life that's, you know, right here, right now, really, really tangible and that is going to last forever? Guess what? Your marriage isn't going to last forever. There are things that are massively important on this earth that you're called to realize as part of your mission from God, but they're not going to last forever. But there is something that we participate in right now here on earth, incredibly tangible, that has eternal significance. And it's our participation in the advance of the gospel. We're going to close with this blessing that we should be very, very thankful for. We should be thankful that God uses us right now in the growth of the gospel around the world, and that matters forever and ever because it's how he brings people into heavenly inheritance. Look at verse 3 and following again. He says, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Of this hope, you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. Paul is saying, this gospel that gave you this rich treasure is also bearing fruit around the world. And how is it bearing fruit around the world? It's bearing fruit around the world because God in his grace has chosen to use us in spreading it. So later in chapter 1, I'm going to read some verses later in chapter 1. Chapter 1:24, you can just listen to this. Listen to Paul describing his ministry. He says, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. God uses us. Paul is special as an apostle, but this same mission is passed on to the church. God uses us to make his word fully known. Then Paul says, him we proclaim, Jesus we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Did you hear that? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. Who's the we? All of God's people in partnership with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is using us to accomplish his eternal mission of bringing others out of their sin to become partakers of this heavenly inheritance. Our lives matter. And isn't that a great thing to be thankful for? In other words, we can be thankful that in one way this life doesn't matter in terms of treasure. It doesn't matter because our heavenly inheritance is in heaven. So all this stuff down here and trying to gather stuff and make our lives comfortable is not where the action is. If we pursue that, our happiness is going to be fluctuating and it's going to be so incredibly fragile. But if our contentment is contentment fueled by thankfulness for what we have in Jesus, we can be thankful in the most difficult circumstances because these circumstances don't touch our true treasure, which is the greatest treasure. And it belongs to us despite ourselves because we have been given the forgiveness of sins. All of our failure is taken away and behind us and gone. It's so thrilling to live in light of the fact that in a most important sense, this earth doesn't matter to us anymore. It's not the source of our joy and happiness. But then God says, that being true, I'm making your lives on this earth also really matter. Because I'm going to use your service. I'm going to use your sacrifice. I'm going to use your giving to the kingdom to spread the word, so that we may present people mature in Christ Jesus. How incredible is that? Every bit of our existence is shot through with blessing because we belong to Jesus. And our call, fundamental to the Christian life, our call is to just recognize that and be thankful. Navigate the boredom, the tedium, the struggle, the pain, the suffering, the poverty, the heartbreak. Navigate all of that with thankfulness because you got so many reasons to be thankful. Let's pray together. Great God, we do thank you. We thank you admitting that we don't come close to thanking you enough. Lord, we recognize that even the most mature among us we're actually really pathetic about just counting our blessings, as the saying goes. We're pathetic at meditating on what it means to belong to Jesus, and we're pathetic at really trusting and believing how wealthy we are because we can't see it with our eyes. So Lord, as you gave us faith to begin with, we pray that you would increase our faith. We pray, Lord, that you would increase our knowledge and our certainty in what you've provided in Jesus so that we would be people that are abounding in thanksgiving, living lives of thankfulness, thrilled to belong to you, thrilled at the blessings that are ours secured already for us in heaven right now, thrilled to have our sins forgiven, and even thrilled to be used by you in this world to make an eternal difference. Thrilled and full of thankfulness, Lord. Thank you In Jesus' name, amen.